Okay, welcome to the Overcompetitive Bystanders. This week, this is Mason. I'm here ready to talk about a lot of college football, a lot of NFL games. Alex is out sick, so we've got Ethan here to help have an argument.
Yeah, I'll argue with you all day of the week if you want.
Yeah,
all days of the week.
All of the days.
So all of them.
It'll be good. This past week, I don't know, I was not very excited for week two of college football. It looked like a really weak slate of games, and then it ended up being really entertaining. There were a lot of really good games this past week.
Yeah, I missed most of them because I was at the USC-USU game, and so it was like during that and then also riding the bus back, so I missed most of the games. I did get to see a large chunk of the BYU-Utah game because we were streaming that with our Wi-Fi on the bus.
Okay.
But other than that, I didn't really get to see many of the games. So it's okay with me that there weren't as many of the like high-profile matchups that we had last week.
Yeah. One of them that I wasn't as excited, I mean, I heard about it and I was like, yeah, I'll check in on it, but that I really enjoyed was the Penn State-Pitt game. Yeah. That game, so the final score ended up being 42-39. Pitt won it, but in all reality, Penn State should have. They were driving. They had the ball at like the 10-yard line. There was like a minute left, down by three, and it was like a second down, and their quarterback threw this terrible throw into the end zone and got intercepted that clinched the game for Pitt. It was a really – I think it was a freshman mistake, just not thinking about what was going on because, I mean, he didn't have to make that throw. And had he not made that throw, even if he had gotten sacked – they still can kick a field goal. It was just a really poor decision, but it was a very entertaining game. The BYU-Utah game, very entertaining. Arkansas-TCU, TCU getting upset by an unranked Arkansas, super great game. Clemson almost getting upset by Troy. There was just like this whole week was just very, very entertaining. I was really not very excited going into it. I really thought it was going to be some bad games, and it ended up being great. And that's what I love about college football. Really, any game can end up being great. One of them that I thought was really good but ended in a not-so-great way was the Central Michigan and Oklahoma State game. First of all, props to Central Michigan for how well they were playing the whole game.
Right.
I think a lot of people with what ended up happening have kind of taken that away from them, and they've said, well, they shouldn't have won. They put themselves in a position to win. You have to respect them for that. Whether they should have won or not, they did well. And I really do respect them for coming into a program like Oklahoma State and doing well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, last year as well, they played them pretty tough up in Michigan and did a good job. And then they turn around this year and they get the win. And Grant, I mean, yeah, like you said, there's that after the fact noise about them misinterpreting the rule book, the referees. And so that crew has been suspended two games. But either way, that last play was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, you launch a Hail Mary and do the lateral back.
Yeah.
You know, as you're falling down and it goes perfectly and you end up getting into the end zone with no time at all. Like, how insane would, like, we go as fans if that happened here?
So great.
Like, you want to go crazy ending. Just watching it on TV, but imagine if you were there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, as someone who has no affiliation to Michigan or Oklahoma, like, I don't like or dislike either team. I'm watching that highlight just going like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing ever. And that was just somebody from Utah who's never been to either state and just loves football. I thought it was an amazing ending. Yeah, the refs made a mistake, but Central Michigan, they capitalized. They did well. And I mean, had they not gotten the touchdown, no one would have cared about the mistake. I don't think these refs would have been even suspended, which most of them were. I think it just comes down to the refs probably realized a little bit after, and like we're watching the play and they're just like, please don't score, please do not, oh no, okay, good, they got him, no, and then he scores, and it's just this, they realize what happened. But yeah, I think at the same time, people are like looking at Oklahoma State and they're like, oh, how did you lose to a Central Michigan team and all this. Okay, they still did well as well. Yeah. Like, I think it's ridiculous that that one play completely changes everyone's perception about the game. That all of a sudden Central Michigan was bad, but then all of a sudden they were good. Yeah. And Oklahoma State went from being good to all of a sudden being bad. It was one play. Yeah, it shouldn't have happened, but it was one play.
Yeah, for me, I mean, it goes back to, you know, Coach Gundy. He went out there after the game and he said, you know, it's unfortunate, like, the way that went down or whatever, but, you know, it's my job to make sure we're not in that position in the first place. So, you know, they went out, they get the win. We didn't do enough to win it for ourselves and something along those lines. And I really appreciated that because, you know, for a lot of coaches, like, they'll go out there and they'll just complain about that mistake and say, that cost us the game or whatever. And the thing you got to realize is, you know, if you're Oklahoma State, you're going against Central Michigan. Central Michigan is not supposed to beat you.
No.
And they're not really supposed to be close to you. And as Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma State was ranked too, weren't they?
Yeah, they were ranked.
Yeah, so they're a ranked team, which really doesn't mean much the first 2 weeks of the season, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. But either way, they're supposed to be a top-tier college.
Oh, yeah.
As far as their football program is concerned. And when you play down to that team, like, you just have to admit that you didn't win that game. Like, yeah, it's unfortunate that it came because of a mistake by the officiating crew, but you also put yourself in that position, so you can't really complain that much.
Exactly.
But I appreciated that he didn't.
Yeah.
Because a lot of coaches will.
I mean, as much as you want to say it all came down to one play, it never comes down to one play. You've got 59 minutes of football and however many seconds before. Yeah. You can't blame it on what happened after. I mean, yes, it can be a battle and it can come down very close, but you can't look at one bad call and say, we lost because of that. Well, you lost because over the course of 60 minutes, they scored more than you.
Yeah.
Yes, there was one play that shouldn't have been a score that was, but that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Whether it's the last play of the game or one of the first touchdowns that they didn't end up reviewing or something. I mean, I did like how he just said, you know, we made a mistake. Like, we didn't do what we had to do.
Yeah.
And that was the case. And I think that's a great idea. One thing that I think is really interesting is Lamar Jackson for Louisville.
Guy's insane.
He's amazing. Me and Alex initially weren't too crazy on Louisville. We kind of said, yeah, okay, I mean, it's Louisville. That's cool. Yeah. But, I mean, he has absolutely been spectacular these past 2 weeks. This next week is going to be a huge test.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see what he does. These past 2 weeks, he has gotten a total of 13 touchdowns and a total of about 1,015 yards.
Both passing and rushing.
Both passing and rushing.
He's absolutely playing out of his mind. Mm-hmm. They're clearly the top Heisman candidate at this point because, I mean, a lot of things factor into it later down the stretch, but after two games, there's no way you can't say he's the top contender at this point. And I remember you guys doing your preseason thing where you were just kind of like, eh, about Louisville and while you're recording. And then you like you took a break, and I was like, well, the big thing for Louisville, why they're ranked so high, is because they have a quarterback who's really good. And he even didn't know the playbook last year, and he still was putting up a lot of numbers and doing an awesome job. And I think he has more of an understanding this year. And so I remember talking to you guys about that, and then you go back on, and then Alex is like, well, I mean, they're getting hyped because their quarterback is supposed to be good and stuff. And it's just funny, like, you turn around, and, you know, he was a guy that was on the fringe of our, like, radar. Like, yeah, we heard he's good, but we don't really know much about him. And and now he's, like, right in the center, and you're like, yeah, okay, we know to look out for him now.
Yeah. And, I mean, one thing to take into account, it was Charlotte and it was Syracuse.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, he does have to prove it against better competition.
And, I mean, you kind of look at, I mean, kind of like Devontae Mays, where he runs all over Weber State. But then you play USC, and he maybe doesn't do quite as well.
But for me, I mean, and this is something I'm sure we'll get into later, is I think that was about the play calling, and they didn't even give him chances.
Yeah, I agree.
But, yeah, with the one thing about it is Syracuse is usually solid for football. They're not ever great, but they usually do a solid job. So for him dominating that team says a lot more than the Charlottesville one. And like you mentioned earlier, this is going to be a huge thing this week against Florida State. I mean, that's one of the top teams in the country. They're ranked number two right now, I believe. And after watching them against Ole Miss, like, you know, I didn't want to believe in Florida State because usually I feel like they're overrated. But watching them play in that game, I was just thinking to myself, this is going to be a tough team.
Yeah, it's very true. I think they're going to do really well. It's a big answer. I mean, Chad Kelly struggled against Florida State a little bit, and I think this is a really big part because I don't know. I'm looking at who the other Heisman candidates are, and I haven't been really very impressed by most of them. Deshaun Watson's good, Christian McCaffrey's good, but I haven't seen, you know, these Heisman performances that they talk about. And yeah, it's early in the season, but we're already seeing it by Lamar Jackson. We're already seeing these huge performances against Charlotte and Syracuse. He hasn't really played in the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlotte, he sat at halftime. He's done. Syracuse, he did a little bit more, but I mean, it was a run attack and he wasn't even the one running.
Yeah.
So you really look at these numbers. He's got 13 touchdowns in basically one game.
Yeah. And he's absolutely, you know, absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing about it, and like you mentioned, Chad Kelly, you said Chad Kelly kind of struggled against Florida State. I think the bigger thing is that his offensive line
got
obliterated by Florida State. And so he wasn't able to do as much as he usually can because he didn't have any protection.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't make adjustments to correct that, so maybe he also got beat, but I think it was bigger on the offensive line. But the thing, I think Jackson has an advantage because he's also a runner. Like, he likes running the ball and everything.
Uh-huh.
So if they do break down that thing, he can escape and, you know, run up the field and stuff, whereas Chad Kelly is more of just a passer. I mean, mm-hmm. he can run a little bit, but he tries to be a pocket passer. Mm-hmm. And so I think that gives Jackson, I think, a better chance against this Florida State team than it did for Chad Kelly. Yeah. And it also depends on the offensive line. I don't know how good Louisville's offensive line is. You know, they haven't had a ton of competition so far. We'll see what happens in this game.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I think it'll be a really good game. So the spread last time I checked was that Florida State was a 3.5-point favorite. Honestly, I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not super high on Florida State, but I don't feel like I think Louisville is better than Florida State.
Yeah.
And so I think 3.5 maybe is pretty close. I think Florida State wins by a touchdown.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's gonna be tough. I think it's gonna be high scoring. I think both teams are gonna do really well. It's going to be a really entertaining game, at least. But I think I have Florida State 42, Louisville 35. Just simply because I think they're going to put up a great performance. And they're going to do great, honestly. I don't see Lamar Jackson doing quite as much against a really good team. Like, I don't even feel like he played like an intermediately good team. He just kind of went like really bad, not very good, and then really, really good. And I think it's going to be really tough for him. And I mean, if he does well, hand him the Heisman tomorrow. But I just don't see that happening. But I don't know. It's just going to be really close. How do you think it's going to go out?
I think it's kind of about the same. I'm not really – I mean – I believe a lot more in Florida State than I did before the season started because of watching them play that first week. I mean, not obviously not the first half of that first game, but the second half they just came out on fire. So I really see Florida State as one of the top teams in the country.
Uh-huh.
Louisville, I think that they're going to win a lot of games on the backs of Jackson, but I don't know how I feel about them as a team. So I'm going to say that, you know, Florida State wins this one. I'll go with, you know, 37-28.
37-28. Okay. That sounds good. It'll be interesting. So we're going to review a little bit more of the games that we had last week. I don't want to talk about this one too much. Me and Alex both had the BYU-Utah game right. Alex was pretty close on the score. He was a little bit high, but he had Utah beating them by 3. Ended up being a 1-point game. Great ending. USC, Utah State. what's your takeaway? You were at the game.
Yeah.
As a Utah State fan, what's your takeaway?
I mean, obviously it was a bit frustrating. I think that our biggest problem was our play calling. I think that this game would have been a lot closer had we called the game differently on offense.
Okay.
Because anyone who watched the game saw that we were just running bubble screen after bubble screen bubble screen and getting negative yards on them because we're trying to outspeed a team that is faster than us.
Oh, yeah.
And getting the ball to guys in open space is great when you're a faster team. But we weren't with USC, but we were still trying to do that. And as I talked about earlier with Mays, they should have given him the ball more. Uh-huh. You know, he give him the ball, run up the middle. He was getting like 5 yards most of the time on those carries. Yeah. And he was moving the ball. And we would do that and then turn around and go back to a bubble screen and lose the 5 yards that we just gained. And then get in third and long and try another bubble screen and get nowhere. So our play calling on offense really killed us because – yeah, we couldn't move the ball, and so our defense was on the field for a long time. And we did a good job initially of slowing down USC. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with the blocked punt, they gave them a short field, mm-hmm. and they scored a touchdown. But still, like, we were competing with them. They would move the ball a little bit, but we would still stop them.
Yeah.
And eventually, I think our defense just got tired because they were out on the field for so long.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of it. My takeaway from it initially was we didn't allow big plays. We didn't allow any deep throws. We didn't allow – and, I mean, USC didn't go for that many. But we never allowed, like, this 70, 60, 50-yard run, the gain. Like, we up close,
for sure.
We let the short stuff go. And that's, you know, that's fine, especially when the defense is down there so often. The fact that Dallin Leavitt got as many tackles as he did
– yeah.
I'm very grateful that we have Dallin Leavitt.
Yeah, because, I mean, he had 10 tackles in the first half alone.
Yeah, and he ended with 15, and it was – the most since 2014. I think he was a savior in that game because had it not been for him, they may have had some really big plays. But overall, I looked at it and I said, you know, we didn't allow big plays, but our special teams was a joke.
Yeah, I mean,
our offense couldn't get a drive going, and I do think it had a lot to do with the play calling. And our defense couldn't really get off the field. Yeah. And, yeah, I think it had a lot to do with the fact that they were tired. I think it was just the fact that throughout the entire game, it just got a little bit worse and worse and worse. But the thing is, this isn't that good of a USC team. A lot of USC fans are saying this is the worst team they've seen in 20 years. This is a team that they're not very high on. They don't really think very well on. And so it's kind of one of those things where you say, yeah, we're beating them, but in the end – like, or yeah, we got beat by him, but in the end, yeah, that's a great USC. It wasn't that good. I think they're going to struggle in the Pac-12 this year. I'd love to see him pick it up, but I just don't. I don't see it happening. Yeah. It's not the end of the season, but it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign.
Yeah, I'll have to disagree with you on USC. Before the game, I called in for our pregame show that mm-hmm. airs every week, and my keys to the game, I'll tell them to you, and I want you to tell me how we did with them.
Okay.
Establish the run.
Yeah, we did really poorly there.
We didn't do that. We didn't even try to establish the run for most of the game. Win the battle in the trenches. I don't feel like we did that because we weren't trying to run the ball.
No.
And I thought we did all right defensively for a while, but again, I thought we got tired.
Yeah.
Keep penalties down. I think we did maybe okay but not like great.
It wasn't terrible.
No turnovers. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
And win the time of possession battle. We sure didn't.
We sure didn't.
And, like, I think that if we would have been able to do those things, I think that we would have been in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we didn't win, I thought we would have been in it. I made the prediction last week that we would win because I thought that we could.
Yeah.
But USC came out, and they were pissed about the Alabama game, for sure.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's what I said last week. I said I thought the Alabama game was the worst thing that could have happened.
Yeah.
To us, because honestly, all it was going to do was make them mad. The other thing, I actually was kind of surprised that I was right about this. I said before, I was like, you know, I love the fact that, you know, all preseason, Wells has been saying, you know, we're going to run the ball 80% of the time. And then at Weber, we just ran the ball. And I was like, I'd love it if we came out passing and we went big. But the problem was, Myers didn't look good. His arm looked bad. Well, I was very disappointed in that.
And part of that is the play calling again. Because, like you said, go big. But I don't feel like we did that. Like, the entirety of our passes were either at the line of scrimmage or maybe like 5 yards off the line of scrimmage. We never took shots down the field. And when we did, we actually had a couple like nice plays that went for big yardage towards the end of the game. And so we didn't open it up at all. I mean, I don't know what the thought process was going into the game for Coach Wells, because he calls the offensive plays. But all he wanted to do was do those bubble screens and the short passes on third and 10. We're throwing it, you know, 3 or 4 yards and expecting we're going to get a first down. No, like take some shots down the field. Like, also, I thought we should have run it better, but about USC, like I feel like USC does have a lot of talent. I mean, last week I was talking about how I thought that the coaching needed improvement, and I thought that the coach did a lot better this week. And they've got a lot of inner turmoil and stuff, but I don't think this is a bad USC team, and I don't think they ever have like a bad team.
Which is part of the reason I think it's one of the worst teams they've had in a long time, because they may not have a terrible team, and I mean, but it's still not the name that you expect when you hear USC.
Yeah, but I think it could be. But that's the thing, is like a lot of it depends on how well they show up to their games. I think they have the talent. They always have the talent to do well. I think their problem is going to be, I mean, if they have a problem, I think it's going to be because of coaching. Like, if their coach doesn't do a good enough job getting them ready for games and for calling plays and all that, then they might struggle. But if they can get them on the right page and everything, this USC team could do a lot of damage in the Pac-12. And that was something that I wasn't expecting to see last week, like when I went there, because of what, you know, obviously what they did the week before against Alabama. But they showed that they were a team that is very talented. It's just a matter of them getting all their pieces together. And obviously they didn't against Alabama, and there's games every year that they don't. Even though they should win every game based on talent, but they find ways to not win games, and that's the problem with USC. I don't think the talent is not there. I think it's just something about the, you know, the mental aspect that they just don't do very well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see what they do.
A big thing will be this week against Stanford.
Oh, they're gonna get crushed.
Maybe
they're gonna get crushed.
I thought for sure they were gonna do it, but then after watching them this last week, I mean, I know that we're not at the level of, you know, most of the Pac-12 teams. But, you know, watching their team, like, they were executing pretty well. And so I think that this game will be a lot closer than I thought it would be before. And so, I wouldn't really be surprised if USC won. I still think Stanford will win, and they'll probably win by a couple touchdowns, but I wouldn't be surprised if USC found a way to win.
Honestly, I'm looking at USC's schedule right now, and I know it's a bold prediction, but I don't think USC's bowl eligible this year.
No.
Nope. I think their last four games are extremely difficult, and they're going to struggle there. So their last four are Notre Dame at home, at UCLA, at Washington, and then a home game against Oregon. I actually said those in reverse, like from oldest to like newest. But I think all four of those are losses. I don't see them beating any of those teams. They'll beat Cal. They'll probably beat Arizona. Probably will beat Colorado. They beat us, but then they'll lose to Stanford. They'd have to beat Utah and Arizona State, and I think both of those are 50-50. I think they split them. I think they end up going 5-7. I don't think they do that well, and I think that's tough for Utah State because, honestly, I didn't want to win. I mean, I wanted to win, but I didn't expect to win this weekend. But I didn't expect 45-7, and that's what hurt. It was seeing this big loss. You know, had we lost by 20, I would have been like, you know what? All right, it's a Pac-12 school. Good. We're not at that level. We knew that. But right now, it just kind of is this thing where it's like, man, like, what happened? And I think a big part of it was that, honestly, Ken Myers. A lot of his throws were pretty bad. A lot of them, I watched it, I'm like, where is he throwing it to? He's throwing it at the feet. He's throwing it too far out. He's throwing it too high. He's throwing it. And I mean, I honestly was surprised he didn't get more interceptions. And I mean, I'm not saying that he's bad, but he was bad in that game. I think he'll do better against competition that is closer to our level. But I wasn't as high on him as I was wanting him to be. So just to move on a little bit. So the next one we picked was Virginia Tech, Tennessee. Me and Alex were both right on that one. Tennessee did a little bit better than we thought, but I mean, at the same time, Tennessee didn't do that well. Virginia Tech came out really well, but then Tennessee answered. We both picked Oregon over Virginia. We were pretty close on the scores. We were both wrong about picking the Panthers over the Broncos, and I know that makes you very happy.
Absolutely. I was so happy about that game.
I was happy because Cam Newton did well, and he is my fantasy quarterback against Alex this week, which I did beat Alex in fantasy football this week. I also beat Ethan.
Yeah.
So
yeah, my fantasy football team did not do very well this week.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with it. I'm not normally a big fantasy football guru, but I beat Ethan and I beat Alex, and I was very happy about that. I beat Alex on like the closest of closest. So fourth quarter, like 4 minutes left in the Steelers game, I was down by like half a point. And all I had left was Antonio Brown, and he didn't have anybody left. But the problem was they were up by so much, and it was just like that last little bit. And Alex was like, no, they're just going to run the ball. They're just going to run the clock. And I was like, he's right. Antonio Brown's not going to touch the ball again if they even put him back in. And then all of a sudden they throw like this little like throw to him, and he gets like 17 yards, and it beat him. And I was so happy. I was ecstatic. And Alex was very upset. But that's okay. We also watched a little bit of the Niners-Rams game last night. I was very happy with how the Niners played. I thought they looked good. The Rams looked bad more than anything.
Absolutely.
But the Niners, I was like, okay, like this isn't too bad. And they looked good against a good defense, honestly. I think the Rams' defense is good. I think their offense is bad. But I think their defense is good. And the Niners put up 28 on them. I'm fine with that. And then we had the Patriots-Cardinals. I didn't expect Jimmy Garoppolo to be what he was. He was not who I thought he was.
No. I fully expected him to come out and play pretty well. Not necessarily Tom Brady level, but I figured he'd go out there and do a solid job. If he wasn't going to, I feel like the Patriots would have gotten rid of him already.
It's true.
Because they, like, that's just the MO for Bill Belichick. Like, if you're not good enough to help the team as a backup, he gets rid of you.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if you're not going to go out there and at least do a decent job, he'll get rid of you. And so I was expecting Garoppolo to do a decent job. And so I wasn't really surprised by it. I still thought that the Cardinals should have won it. I mean, they shouldn't have let the Patriots beat them on their home turf without Brady and without Gronk.
Yeah.
But that's an indictment on the Cardinals, in my mind, not necessarily that the Patriots did really well. They did a good job. But I still think that the Cardinals should have been a better team. But this goes on along with what I've felt about the Cardinals for a while, where I think because of Carson Palmer, I just don't think he's good enough to win in those big games. And I don't think the team around him can pick up the slack. And I mean, I guess it's not that he's not good enough to win the big games, because you don't have to be really good to win big games as a quarterback.
I mean, look at Peyton Manning last year. But he loses
them games.
Yeah, I think so.
And I mean, you look at the quarterback situation last year for the Broncos. There was a lot of games that honestly they could have lost because of the quarterback play, but the defense fought through it and won it. But
the Cardinals don't have that defense though. That's the thing.
The Cardinals do have a pretty good defense. They're not as good as the Broncos. Yeah. I don't think anybody is at this point. I mean, we'll see how as the season goes on if somebody else is up there with them. But it's just all about, if you have a good defense or whatever, you need your quarterback to not make plays that will lose you a game.
Yeah.
And I think that Carson Palmer does that from time to time. I mean, sure, he'll win a lot of games for you, but you saw it last year in the NFC Championship. Like, he just fell apart.
Yeah, he didn't
turn over the ball like crazy and made it really easy on the Panthers to go and defeat, to go and just go mop and up on the him. Floor yeah. with them. And then I think that got the Panthers a little bit overconfident, because they're like, oh, yeah, the Cardinals are probably the second best team in the league. And then they go in against a team that actually, you know, at least took care of the ball for the most part and then had a really good defense. And I think it caught the Panthers by surprise. And they came back out in that game this year and They started out really well, and I was kind of worried. But then they were able to turn it around. But that was the thing. It was Trevor Siemian, as a first-time starter, he didn't do things that cost Denver the game. And I feel like Carson Palmer does that consistently.
Yeah, I agree. I think Trevor Siemian didn't look bad.
No, I thought he looked good. I mean, it was his first start. He made a couple mistakes, but for the most part,
he looked good.
He was accurate. He made great decisions for most of it.
Yeah, I think it was more a confidence issue than anything is what it was. He'll get more confident, and he'll play better. That's all it's going
to
be.
The interesting thing to note with that, though, is that there was a Denver player. I want to say it was one of the receivers that said that Siemian was the most well-prepared quarterback that they had played with.
Really?
And that, I mean, you think about last year, they were playing with Peyton Manning. It's insane.
Yeah, that really surprised me. That's
cool. Obviously, I don't think he's as talented as Peyton Manning was. And maybe he's not, you know, as, like, on the field, knowing everything that Peyton Manning did. I wouldn't say that anybody knows that because he just diagnosed plays and everything. But they said that he was the most well-prepared, which says a lot.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, even if he's not the best athlete out there or the best quarterback, like, he's going to prepare to be in a good spot. And that's really what the Patriots do, and what they do really well is they're always prepared for every situation. Week to week, the team changes what it's doing to attack the team and be really well prepared for opponents. And so that's why I wasn't worried about Siemian being the quarterback, and I figured the Broncos are still going to have another really good year. And I have a hard time picking against them, first off because they're my team, but also because of that, because I think that Siemian will do a good enough job to not lose them games. Whereas Palmer, I think, does do that.
Yeah, and I agree. I think the quarterback play is going to make a big difference. But I do think it all comes down to where the defense is at, and I think the Broncos' defense is really good, and I think they'll do well, like I said. I don't think they make the playoffs this year. They did surprise me by beating the Panthers, but I think overall they're not going to do quite as well. Part of it because I think the representative from the AFC West will be the team that beat the Saints this week, the Raiders. Yeah, I think the Raiders are looking really good.
The Raiders have improved a ton, and the GM has done a great job. Reggie McKenzie has done a great job, and... You know, I mean, they barely beat the Saints, though. And the Saints were kind of awful last year. You know, they had flashes where they were good, but for the most part, they were pretty bad. And so there's that. And then on top of that, you've got the Chiefs. There's another team that I thought was better than them. They struggled to beat the Chargers, who are a bad team. I mean, they're not as bad as other bottom teams in divisions, but they will be the worst team in the AFC West. And so I'm going to tell you, like, right now I'm telling you the Broncos are going to make it to the playoffs. I still say they win the AFC West because their defense is that good. And their offense showed improvement, like, just this last week over what they did last year. So in my mind, they're actually a better team overall than they were last year.
Okay.
I'm not going to convince you to change your mind.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, the Raiders, I think, will be battling for the top spot. I think they're still a year out from that.
Okay.
I think that they'll finish about 8-8. Maybe they make it in as the last wild card.
Okay.
And maybe they just missed the playoffs. But
the thing is, last year they just missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, they were one game out of the playoffs last year, and I think they're a better team. And I think they're going to come back. Maybe they don't make a great run in the playoffs, but I think they make the playoffs and look good.
And they might do that.
And I don't know. My projection that I did at the beginning of the season – I don't feel is out, like, way out there right now, but I still feel like the Raiders could potentially win the AFC West, look really good, be the 2 seed, and get a good win and potentially get to the AFC Championship where they'd lose.
And to me, all those are possibilities.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're going to happen.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, I mean, there's no way for us to know at this point.
Uh-huh.
I can see where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I just feel like that's not really going to happen that way. I think that the Raiders have a better chance of next year doing all of that because they'll have another year of experience with Derek Carr and with Amari Cooper. And honestly, I think that they need an upgrade at running back if they want to go deep in the playoffs.
Yeah. We'll see. So
not that the running back is bad. I just think that he's not necessarily what you want as your starter. I mean, maybe they get another back who's like him and they just do a, you know, double-headed monster or whatever. But I still think that the Raiders, I think it's too premature to put them above both the Broncos and the Chiefs because they haven't proven it yet. That's my biggest thing.
See, I'm not big on the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are okay.
I'm not as big on them as I was before. I mean, after watching them barely beat San Diego.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, San Diego is not good. They struggled there. Yeah, we'll see. But I don't know. It'll be interesting. I just don't see the Chiefs making that big of a run. I think the AFC West is really good, though, and I think it'll be interesting to see who pulls out front. I think the Chargers are going to look really bad this year because they're in a good division.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't think they're the worst last place team in a division, but I think that they will be last in the AFC West. I still think they get like 6 or 7 wins.
Yeah. I think they win against everybody else, but I don't think they win very much against their own division.
Yeah.
Because I think in the six division games, if they go 4-2 in those six games, I'll be pretty surprised. Just because I can't see them pulling off wins against all three of those teams, home and away.
Yeah,
but I mean, we'll see.
I think that they'll really struggle in my mind too.
Yeah. So what we're going to talk about now is going to be the predictions for this coming week. So we already talked a little bit about FSU Louisville. So Michigan State and Notre Dame. So Notre Dame is a 7.5-point favorite in this game. I like Michigan State. I think Michigan State is one of the most underrated teams consistently. For some reason, the nation as a whole is like, Michigan State's not that good. But yet, for some reason, they always do well. Like, yeah, they lose some games here and there, but and last year they got really lucky in a couple of games. But overall, I think Michigan State's good. I think it's interesting that Michigan State, being a ranked team, is not the favorite against Notre Dame, who is not ranked. And it's not even like it's that close. It's not like it's a 1-point favorite. It's like 7.5. If I was a bettor, I'd bet the under on this all day. Just because I think Michigan State has a really good group. I wasn't that impressed by Notre Dame when they played Texas and lost. I mean, they looked like a good team, no doubt, but I just didn't look at it and go, wow, this is a team that can really beat good teams. It was like, yeah, I mean, it's a good team. It's an entertaining game. But I'm not that high on Notre Dame or Texas, and that's part of the reason that I think Michigan State's going to do really well in this game.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, Michigan State sitting at 12, Notre Dame at 18, according to ESPN. And like you said, Notre Dame, 7.5-point favorite. I'm with you. Like, I believe that Michigan State is, you know, better.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because of the coaching. Coaching plays a huge role, especially in college football, between teams that, you know, are about the same. I would say these two teams are probably about the same as far as talent goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the coaching at Michigan State is just far superior to that of Notre Dame.
Yeah. And I think the fact that Michigan State's coming off a bye week is also really big. I think it's weird that they're saying a rested Michigan State team is not as good as Notre Dame.
I mean, yeah, it is going to be at Notre Dame. I mean, it's a home game for them.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. Like, I think that Michigan State will come out prepared. You know, Coach D'Antoni, he does a great job. And he, in my mind, he's kind of like the Bill Belichick of college football.
Nice.
Whereas he's just always prepared. And it doesn't matter who he loses. Like, he always finds ways to win games.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I'm in the same line of thought. I think that Michigan State will win this game.
Okay.
I think it'll be close, but I think Michigan State gets the win.
So I've got Michigan State 28-21. I agree with you. It's going to be a really close one. It's going to be really, really tight. And, I mean, it could even be another miracle for Michigan State where they pull it off somehow where they maybe shouldn't have won the game like they did against Michigan, you know, like they've done against Ohio State. I still think that they pull it off, no matter what. And I think it'll be a really good game. I'm excited to watch it, but it's just not going to be that close.
Yeah, and I'm going to go and I'm going to say 31-28.
Okay.
Field goal difference. Whether or not, I mean, that might come at the end of the game to win it, or that might be that they get a touchdown to go up by the field goal or whatever. However it is, I say that they win by 3 points, 31-28.
Okay.
And I think that Notre Dame gets booted out of the top 25. And yeah. I mean, they'll find their way back in later on.
Yeah.
But I think that that's how this game goes down.
Okay. So the next one we're going to talk about is Ohio State, the Ohio State University.
I can't stand that. So annoying.
And Oklahoma. So the Ohio State University is a 2.5-point favorite over the University of Oklahoma. Honestly, I think 2.5 is kind of generous to Oklahoma. I think Ohio State's going to do really well in this game. I mean, Urban Meyer is a great coach.
Yeah.
He can put a great squad together. And, I mean, yeah, Oklahoma looked good against Houston and did well, but I just feel like this Ohio State team is a playoff team, and this Oklahoma team is not a playoff team. Now, I don't think it's going to be like this blowout, but I think Ohio State's going to do well. I'm going to say 31-21 for Ohio State. And I mean, it might be a field goal at the end that kind of clinches it and says, you know, okay, but I do think that they beat them by 10. Now whether that's, and I mean, kind of at least 10, if not more, just because I just don't think Oklahoma's really got it. I think the fact that Oklahoma, having lost to Houston, just lost a really big chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think Baker Mayfield just lost a huge chance to win the Heisman. And I think it kind of gets to a point where they have to look at it and they say, well, I mean, our goal for the season's already gone. Do we keep going and have the push that this Ohio State team is going to have? And I just think Urban Meyer does a great job of keeping that push going for his team.
Yeah. I would be with you on that one. I do think that Ohio State wins this one. I think that Oklahoma has the talent to be a playoff team, but I don't think they're going to make it just because they get in their own way too much.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that it's going to be about a similar score. I'm going to say 35-24.
Okay.
For Ohio State, because Ohio State, you know, they're another one of these teams that they just reload and keep going. And JT Barrett, I mean, I'm a bigger believer in JT Barrett than I ever was of Cardale Jones. I couldn't believe that they put Cardale Jones in over him last year. I thought that was foolish. Yeah. And by the end of the year, obviously Barrett was starting again. But I think that Barrett is a pretty good athlete, like a really good athlete, and he'll do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Ohio State, like you said, Urban Meyer's a great coach. I think that Oklahoma has the talent to play with them. I just don't think that they will.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I say it should be a close game for most of it, with Ohio State pulling away in the fourth quarter.
Okay, that's fair. So the next game we're going to talk about is the Friday night whiteout that we have going on here at the Mav. We've got Utah State and Arkansas State. So Arkansas State has not done well. No. So they lost opening week to Toledo, kind of got beat up by Toledo. And then this past week they lost as well, and it just hasn't been that good. I mean, yeah, it was to Auburn, but I mean, it's kind of I view that one pretty similar to our loss to USC. They lost 51-14 to an Auburn team that, yeah, they gave Clemson a run for their money, but in a way it kind of looked like Auburn was like, here, Clemson, have the game. And Clemson was like,
No, you have it.
And then Auburn was like, well, I don't know, you can have it. And then Clemson was like, I guess so. And then that was the end.
Yeah, Clemson has not looked good so far.
And so I was like, yeah, I mean, a big loss to Toledo, a big loss to Auburn. And I mean, one thing, I was just looking at their stats on here, they haven't thrown a touchdown. Two games, they don't have a passing touchdown. And it's understandable. I could see it where you say, okay, it's fair to say you don't get a passing touchdown against Auburn. Okay. But against Toledo?
You can't get one?
You can't get anything? Yeah, really. Their quarterback hasn't looked all that stellar. The true quarterback rating that ESPN generates for players They have him at like a 29 out of 100. That's not good. Now, yeah, obviously, they kind of have adjusted it so it's a little bit more honest and it's not just always these big numbers. But we should do just fine on defense. Through the pass, at least. Their rushing is where they've done well. They've got Warren Wand, who's been their big runner. He's got 28 carries. He's got 114 yards. He hasn't had any big runs, though. I mean, his long is an 18-yard run. Good run. But yeah, that's not something that you look at and go, wow. And again, okay, you tell me that your long running was 18 against Auburn, cool. But yeah. Toledo, that's my big thing. We need to do what Toledo did to them to even feel okay about this. They had another one. Their quarterback actually is a pretty decent runner. So as a quarterback, he has 31 carries, which I think could be the most dangerous thing, is that he is a runner. He has 31 carries for 50 yards. One of them was a 20-yard gain. But he does have two touchdowns. So as a runner, he's got two touchdowns. As a passer, he hasn't done squat. And then they have a, I think this is like their fullback or something, that had just some short gains that got their third touchdown. So they've got three rushing touchdowns. Two of them is their quarterback doing little sneaks. They just don't look that good. I mean, really.
Yeah, they don't.
We need to beat up on them. We're a 9-point favorite on them. And I think it's fair to say that it should be at least 9. I'm gonna give us a solid win. I'm gonna say 28-10. Not quite what Toledo did to him. But I think we need to win this game pretty solidly to even look at this and go, all right, we're a lot better than bad, which is Weber.
Yeah.
We're not as good as good, which is USC. And so where are we? And I think this Arkansas State game is going to say a lot about, you know, this is a middle of the pack group of five. Okay, we're not FCS level. We're not Power 5 level. Where are we in this middle? So I think we need to win this one. I think we'll win it. I think we'll do pretty well. I want to, like, my main thing that I want to see is Myers looking good on the throw, because I think Mays is going to run well if they give him enough throws. I need that confidence back in Myers. I need to look at it and go, wow, this is why I was so excited for this season as Myers' quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that Myers really was kind of flustered during that game, and I don't think it was that. I mean, USC was getting some pressure, but I think a lot of it was in his head, like you're saying. So I agree. I think that we need to see more out of him to kind of get that excitement back. And I think that he will do a good job. There's still questions on whether Mays is even going to play this week because he was getting evaluated for the injury that he went down with later in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be okay, but they might hold him out of this game, so we might not even see him.
Yeah.
That's still to be determined at this point in the week. This is a team that beat us a couple years ago. And I'm sure that we'll be gunning for them because of that. Also, I think that our team is going to want to go out there and show that last week was a fluke and that we aren't really that bad.
Yeah.
I think that our offense will play a lot better. I think that we'll actually take some shots down the field.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Because that was one thing that we were completely missing. We didn't try to stretch USC's defense at all. We completely went away from our identity of trying to run the ball up the middle and then like have that open up the passing game. I think if we can do that, we should be good. We should run all over them. We've got enough guys who showed that they were able to carry the ball against, you know, lesser competition, I would say, against Weber State. On a side note, Weber State actually played pretty well in their game this last week.
How did they?
So that was a positive for us, is that they aren't like the bottom of the FCS either.
Yeah.
So that's a positive. But, yeah, I think that we need to run the ball better. I think that Myers needs to get in a rhythm passing. I think part of the problem was that he didn't get hardly any reps in that first game. And so I think he was still out of rhythm. I think that's probably the biggest thing for why we aren't really – I mean, why we didn't pass the ball well and why he looked off bounds. I think he just needs some in-game reps to get that going, and this is a team that we can do it against. So I'm with you. I think that we should win this game. We should, you know, cover that spread. And and go even beyond that. So I'm going to say that we win 42-24.
Okay.
I think that Arkansas State gets a little bit going.
Do they get a passing touchdown?
I don't know. Our strength is really our pass defense.
Okay.
I would say defensively, because we've got, like, Down Levitt, like we were talking about before the show. And then Jalen Davis does a good job. And I think that we'll be set for the passing. So I want to say no, they don't get it in the passing game.
Okay.
Actually, I want to amend mine. I say that they don't get 24 because I think that that's too generous for them.
Okay.
I'd say 13. They get one rushing touchdown, two field goals.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. Okay. So we're just going to finish up real quick with just three kind of fast NFL predictions. So Cowboys versus the Redskins. Redskins are a 3.5-point favorite. I have the Redskins beating them by 7. I'd go 28-21. I don't feel like the Cowboys are that good. Not that I feel like the Redskins are that good, but I do think the Redskins are better than the Cowboys. So I got them 28-27.
Yeah. The Cowboys, who is it? Oh, yeah, they're
lost. Sorry, 28-21. My bad.
I don't know. They're kind of Jekyll and Hyde. I almost feel like they're going to win this one, but I am going to go with the Redskins because, yeah, they got beat by Pittsburgh last week, but I still think that they're better than the Cowboys.
Okay.
But I'm gonna say it's a closer game. I say 27-24.
Okay. That's fair. Okay, next one. Bengals-Steelers. Steelers are a 3.5-point favorite. I like the Steelers. I think they look really good. I'm not just saying that because Antonio Brown is on my fantasy team. I honestly think that the Steelers look good. Whether I think that they're a playoff or a championship contender is another thing, but I think that they're a lot better than the Bengals. I think they score a lot more. I mean, they scored 5 touchdowns on Monday. I think they score something similar. I've got them. We'll go 34. I think the Bengals will do pretty well, but just not quite as much. 34-24. So good offense on both sides, but not quite where you'd want it to be for the Bengals.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good prediction. I also believe that the Steelers are going to win this one. I thought they looked really good. And the Redskins, again, like I said, they're still a pretty good team. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they weren't just like a fluke, them beating a bad team last night. I think that they are a good team. I want to say that it'll be a pretty close game because Cincinnati is also pretty good.
Okay.
But I'm going to say that the Steelers win 31-28.
Okay.
So kind of similar. I just think it's a little bit closer.
Okay. So the next one is Falcons versus Raiders. This is our last prediction. We're going to go, well, Raiders are a 5.5-point favorite. Like I said earlier, I'm pretty high on the Raiders. I think they're going to do really well. I think this is a good chance for the Raiders to prove themselves. Yeah, the Falcons aren't the best team, but they're still a good team.
Yeah.
And so I think the Raiders kind of pull away a little bit more in this one than they did against the Saints. But like most NFL games, there's not really big blowouts. So I think the Raiders win this one. It's going to be a lower scoring one. I'm going to say 24-10.
All right. Yeah, I think the Raiders do win this game in my mind as well. Atlanta can surprise you, but I just don't think they have enough going with their running game to win this game. But I think it'll be pretty close. I'd say it's within the spread, but I think that the Raiders get out the win by 3 points. And I'm going to say
31-28. So that looks good. So just real quick, both of us have Florida State beating Louisville. We both have Michigan State beating Notre Dame. We both have the Ohio State University beating the Oklahoma Sooners. We both have Utah State beating Arkansas State. We both have Washington beating the Cowboys. We both have Pittsburgh beating the Bengals. And we both have the Raiders beating the Falcons.
See, because we're all the same, I want to change one of mine so they're not identical.
So which one are you the least confident on?
Well, it's not that I'm the least confident on. I'm just going to go and say that I'm going to change the last one. Okay. I'll say that just flip them and say Atlanta wins.
Atlanta wins, same score.
Yeah, same score, Atlanta wins. Just because I think it could happen. I still think the Raiders will win, but just for the sake of having some differential, I'm going to say that the Raiders win that, or that the Falcons beat the Raiders on that one.
Okay, and I'm going to count these as Alex's picks since Alex wasn't here. So if you want to change any of those to be like really bad, no, I'm just kidding, but... yeah, we're going to use this to see, with Alex's in mind, to see who at the end of the season has a better percentage. You're picking for him this week. So
awesome.
He better agree with you or else that's kind of tough on him.
At the very least, the worst I'm going to do is give up one game.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we're going to have pretty similar. At best,
I get him a game ahead, you know, if I happen to be right about the Falcons.
True. So, again, we're the over-competitive bystanders here on Aggie Radio. You can listen to our recording at any time. Please feel free to tweet at us at competitiveUSU, or follow us on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you think any of our predictions are totally wrong. Feel free to just get completely mad at us about anything and everything, because we probably deserve it.
Yeah. So thanks everyone for listening. Have a good one.